Oh, that my people would know my grace. Oh, that they would know my love. For you've received my grace to a certain point. You've received it to the degree that you understand, but I have more than what you know. I have more grace, more mercy, more power than what you can think, ask, or imagine. I have more for you than what you have entered into so far, and even more for you than what you've been able to see through your natural understanding. For you see in part and you know in part, but I, say the Lord, I know the end from the beginning, and I know the plans that I have for you, that you would walk in those things that I've already set out for you to attain. And yet you've become satisfied because of your pride, because of your ego. You become satisfied. Well, I'm doing all I know to do, and that's your problem. You're doing all you know to do, but I know more to do. For I know those things that I have placed within you that you haven't even begun to tap yet. For I have put my very essence, my very person within you, says the Lord, through the new birth. And in that reborn experience, I have come to inhabit you. For my grace, my power, my strength operates through a power of unity, declares God, of oneness with me. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, that you be of the same mind, you be of the same spirit, because that releases my gifts in operation. But where there is envy, where there is strife, where there is bitterness, where there is discouragement, I am not free to move in the way that I would desire to move, for those are limitations to me. Oh, I am moving in these days, declares God, to bring my body into a unity of my spirit. Not their understanding, but a unity of my spirit, declares God. And when they come into that unity of spirit, I will begin to do things, and the church, those through whose hands it is performed, will begin to stand back and say, this has to be God. For it will no longer be the imagination of men. It will no longer be the desire of men, but it will surpass those things to where my spirit is released in the earth to move and to have sway. Oh, that you would come into unity with me, declares God, that you would come into unity with one another, that there would be no division in the body, and there would be no division between me and you. For I have called you unto myself, says God, and I say again, come, 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 that we may walk together, and the power of my spirit would be poured out and glorified in all the earth. This is my will, declares God. This is my desire for you and for my body in the earth. Not in heaven, for it will be that way in heaven. But I want to see those things manifested in the earth, in the natural realm, declares the Father.
Hey, loving Jesus, come on now. Let's give him some praise. Let's one more time. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's act like he's really here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hey. He's worthy of the highest praise. The highest praise. The highest praise. The highest praise. Come on now. The Most High God. Daddy God, come on, Daddy's in the house. Daddy's in the house. Hey! Oh! Yeah! Daddy's in the house. Oh! He's about ready to command a blessing. Come on! Command a blessing. Hey! Oh, the oil's beginning to flow. The oil, the oil, the oil, the oil, the oil. Come on. Fresh oil's flowing from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. Woo! No lack, no lack, no lack, no lack. No lack, no lack. Come on. Woo! We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Woo! Everything we need is here because you're here. Come on now. We thank you, sir. Now that's better. Woo! Whoa! Yeah, something's breaking. Something's beginning to break. Something's beginning to break. Something's beginning to shake. Come on now. Ha ha. Oh, the place is going to be filling with smoke. Come on. Fresh oil, fresh fire. Woo! Woo! Come on. Woo! Oh, we ain't no dead church. Come on now. Woo! Wow. Wow. He's a wow God. He's a wow God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he likes this. Come on. He likes this. He's setting you up for blessing. Come on. Setting you up for blessing. He's about ready to load you down with some benefits. Come on. Whoa. Ho ho. Only you, God. Only you, God. Only you deserve the glory. Well, if you love him, you can be seated. I know you don't. I know you're standing on the inside, so you can be seated on the outside, though. You loving him tonight? I'll tell you something. Nothing like the manifest presence of God. Nothing like it. You know, I was thinking about that tonight as I mentioned this, you know, this morning about doing the Ohio outpouring. And Monday night was a key night as they had basically made a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. And we had set up a 600-seat tent, so the Ark of the Covenant was going to be carried into the tent of meeting. And we had it all set up for some of the more prominent people, our spiritual people in the church, to carry the ark in. But God had different ideas. And some of my friends, I'm good friends with the chaplain of the Outlaws, which there's two major biker gangs in the country, Hell's Angels and Outlaws. I've done a lot of things in Sturgis where all the gangs show up, and sometimes it's not all that friendly, but it's interesting ministry. But my friend Lil Wolf, who's the does all the marrying and the burying for the Outlaws, and a lot of that goes on. Well, he showed up with several of his men, some saved, some unsaved, to the tent meeting. So here we are about ready to carry the Ark of the Covenant in, and Spirit of God speaks to the pastor, and he comes up to me and said, "Do you think it would be appropriate to have the Outlaws carry the Ark in?" I said, "Yeah, I think it would be appropriate." And two of them were, one was Lil Wolf and another saved man, but two of them were unsaved. The moment they entered under the tent, the two unsaved people collapsed and began to cry out and receive Christ as their Lord. right at that moment. That's the presence of God. Come on now. That's the manifest presence of God. See, God's going to begin to show up at the weirdest places. Get ready for it. He's going to use some of the weirdest people. And some of them are us. It's an outcast anointing. I said that this morning. You know, God's going to use an outcast revival. Because he's going to use people that didn't fit. They have never fit. No matter what's happened, they've never totally fit. Because our job is not to fit in. Our job is to take over. It's the message of the kingdom. Come on now. See, if you fit, you can't change anything. Come on now. That's why God usually goes outside the camp to change the camp. Come on. I'm going to talk tonight about the greater life. Because we need to understand greater is he that's in us. 1 John 4:4. Than he that's in the world. And too many times as Christians, we've settled for the natural life and not the supernatural life. Come on. We have literally lived like the world except for we have a ticket to heaven. Instead of living like Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. Come on now. It's a whole different thing. God has a greater life for you. He is the greater life on the inside of you. Come on now. You're already victorious. You're already got everything you need. If you're born again, you're a child of God right now. Come on. You got God on the inside. Your DNA is different. Like I said last time, before your blood type was B negative. But you get born again, it's B positive. Come on now. There's nothing negative at all in God. Come on. It's a faith thing. And we see, you know, not only do you have the greater life in you, you're called to greater works. Not greater than Jesus, greater with Jesus. See, before Jesus was the only one, the only begotten Son of God, and he was limited by the fact he only had one body. Now we're all the body of Christ. But literally every one of us is a walking Christian, little Christ on the inside of us. Come on now. Where every one of us can manifest God at the same time everywhere. Come on now. Think about that. Greater works than these have, because I'm going to the Father. Come on. The works I do, you shall do also, but even greater. I'm ready for the greater works. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to begin to see more than we ever have before. See, literally, I've learned the more you decrease, the more he can increase. Come on now. See, a part of our problem is because we have elevated flesh over spirit. We have basically put a lid on God. You know, through selfishness. You know, John the Baptist in John 3:30, where he must increase, I must decrease. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I, but Christ in me. No longer I. Come on now. See, I must decrease in order for Christ in me to be manifest. Come on now. We have to make room for the blessing. Amen. There's many times there's a circumcision, a cutting away of flesh. And God literally takes away the branches that don't bear fruit. He prunes them. And he even prunes the fruitful branches. Because we're in a pruning session right now because God's about ready to bear more fruit than ever before. Come on now. So everything that needs to be cut away is being cut away right now. Everything that needs to be shaken is being shaken right now. God has a plan in it. We need to begin to realize that we're right in the middle of the plan of God. Does this make sense? See, how long are we going to live as mere men? That's what 1 Corinthians 3:3 says. How long are we going to live as though God doesn't live in us? How long are we going to live like everybody else? We're not called to be like everyone else. We're called to be like our Father, like Son. As he is, so are we in this world. We're a different breed. Come on, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We literally have on the inside of us, we're carrying the next move of God. You know, if we ever understood the whole earth is in travail and we're seeing it, hurricanes, weather pattern weird situations, because the whole earth is travailing, waiting for us to finally realize our identity. For the revelation of the sons of God. I'm going to help you today, whether you like it or not. There's a deep that calls unto deep. Because honestly, there's something in our heart that doesn't want to settle for shallow. Because there's more. There's more. See, I've learned mediocre people always live on good enough. This is good enough. This is good enough. This is good enough. The church world's been famous for this is good enough. I mean, I've heard people say this is good enough for God. And God's a God of too much. He's not a God of just enough. And be honest with you, He never asked us to be good enough. He called us to a greater life. Come on now. To the greater life that's on the inside of us. It's not good enough. It's not good enough when one person perishes. That's not good enough. It's not good enough when anyone dies of cancer it's not good enough for me. You know, I'm going to fight until the day I live because it's never good enough. I want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on now. The only thing that's good enough for earth should be heaven. Come on now. Because that is how you pray, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, what we're seeing in this country right now is not good enough. Be honest, we're better than this. And the church is better than this. And if the church would be the church, we would have a move of God, and we would have a move of God that would sweep this nation. And it wouldn't take care of all the mess, because there are going to be people who are stubborn anyway. But it will draw most of the people together. Come on now. And I believe there's going to be a sweeping move of God that's going to hit this place. Does this make sense? Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to have fun tonight. At least I'll have enough fun for all of us. Because I'm serious about this stuff, man. Because we need revival. We need a move of God. You know, we actually need, I keep hearing God say it. He wants to be part of the fight. Come on now. He literally saying, you know, you got God on the inside of you. Sometimes he's saying, just unzip yourself and let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out. I'll take care of it. Let me out. Come on now. Let me out. Use your faith so I can manifest. Come on. Philippians 3, it says, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet. But one thing I do. And this is one thing we got to do. Forget what lies behind and reach towards what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal, the prize, the upward call in Christ Jesus. See, we got to press for the greater life. Come on. Where we are is not good enough, because God always calls you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Come on. The moment you stop growing, you stop dying. The moment you stop dreaming, you stop changing the world. And understand, it's never about the destination, because once you reach a destination, God will just change destinations on you. It's always about the journey. So no matter where you are, even if you get to the end, you're going to be stuck in the middle. But you're not stuck, you just stopped. So what you keep doing is you keep moving, because God keeps moving the goal higher and higher and higher and higher. Come on now. Takes you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. See, God wants to give you the confidence that nothing's impossible with Him. Nothing is impossible with God. He wants to give you the clarity to see the next step He's calling you to take. And the courage to do anything that He tells you to do. And what I found out is the most key thing in life is the process. How many of you know that? You're always in process. You're always in process. And, you know, John 8:31 says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. What does he say? If you continue in process, then you're my disciples. And then you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. We never arrive. Not till we get to heaven. Come on. But we're always in process. I want to show you something. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. I'm going to have fun today. Because, you know, everything I've been preaching recently is stepping on my toes a little bit. Because it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to get into a thing where, honestly, at this part of my life, I have a fairly comfortable life. And that's the most dangerous place to be. You know, I can live out the rest of my days in my little happy little place. You know, I'm not under a lot of pressure. But there's something calling me that's beyond the mundane, that's beyond the daily. There's something on the inside of me that I have to manifest. It's called the kingdom. Come on. It's my portion of it. And we begin to see, let's go look at Elijah. I love Elijah. I love Elijah. And I love Elijah. In this portion of scripture, we see Elijah's already depressed. I mean, he had just called fire down against the prophets of Baal. But because of one woman's said, I'm going to kill you. I mean, he destroyed 450 men, but one woman gets him in terror. Some things don't ever change. Come on now. And you know, he felt sorry for himself. I'm the only one left. He went into hiding. Then God called him out of hiding because there was something he had to do. And he was about ready to do something that is taking place right now as the transference is going on. Come on. Where literally Elijah had the one thing that he was depressed about in his life is he had no one to pass on what he had. And to be honest with you, the most dangerous thing in the world is to look and realize that what you did stops with you. Come on. So he was depressed, and God got him up and got him moving. Because God won't let you stay in a pity party, a party with the pit. And we see right here in verse 19, 1 Kings 19, 19. It says, and he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pair of oxen before him. Here we see Elijah doing what he's always done. Every single morning, rain or shine, woke up, hitched up the 12 pairs of oxen, and began plowing. Plowing in day and night. We have to watch it that even our routine doesn't become routine. You know, one of the things I've learned is, you know, when you have vision, it's never routine. But when you don't have vision, it always is. You know, when I just was a little boy, I decided, God gave me a desire to play pro baseball. And many of you know I did a little bit. And I did not practice like anyone else. Because they practiced like somebody who was 7 years old, 10 years old, whatever it was at the time. I practiced like I was going to play pro ball. Everything I went through on purpose. Everything had a purpose to it. And I've learned that champions learn to do it that way. We have to watch it, that we don't go through the motions in life. Come on. And we see him plowing, not knowing that this was going to be an extraordinary day. It started as an ordinary day. And many times in our life, we never know when the extraordinary is going to come. But we better be ready when it does. And it says, when he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. Man. He basically said, I choose you. And so he departed from there and literally said, he ran after Elijah. He found Elijah, the son of Shep. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I'll follow you. And he said to him, go back for what I have done for you. But to be honest with you, he began to run and he was never the same. How many of you understand? The one touch from God, you're never the same. One word from heaven, you're never the same. One vision. You can be minding your own business. Just going through normal life. I mean, when I was 7 years old, I had a coach say, you swing a baseball bat like Ted Williams. And for the next 14 years of my life, I saw myself as Ted Williams. Saw myself playing pro ball, and then one day I was there. And then I'm in spring training camp, minding my own business. By that time, I had a relationship with God, so I was just having a quiet time. Spending time daily, not expecting much other than I expected to hear the voice of God, but nothing earth-shattering. And I have the Lord come in and say, I want you to retire. And I actually was 20 years old at the time. I said, Lord, I'm 20. He said, yeah, I want you to retire. I said, baseball is my life. You're my Lord. He said, if I'm not your life, I'm not your Lord. And he said, you can go ahead and you can continue to play ball, and I'll be waiting for you 10 years down the road or whenever. And we'll make up for the wasted years, but you don't have to waste them. I found out there's always a point of decision when God shows up. And what he does is separate you whether you like it or not. And you have a choice on whether you're going to separate or not separate. Come on now. Whether you're going to run after the anointing or run from it. Come on. And I went through the toughest time in my life. Because literally I did not want to give up a dream. And Lord, I kept saying, just like I felt like Jesus, if there's any way, take this cross from me. Lord, you can use baseball. And he has in a lot of people's lives. But for me, it was different. And I had to realize you have to lose your life in order to find it. Come on. They're defining moments, and it was my defining moment. And after 3 days, I remember walking into my manager's office and telling him I retire. And there's a reason they called him Sparky. He said, why are you retiring? I said, I'm in love. He said, you can have a girlfriend and play baseball. You can be married and play baseball. And I said, but I'm not in love with a woman. He said, oh my God. It was a little different back in those days. Come on now. I said, yeah, that's true. I'm in love with God. He said, thank God. You know? But I had to walk away from one dream to pursue another. See, what I found out is when God's calling you higher, you have a choice on whether to stay in what you've always been in or to separate into the higher place he's calling you. Come on. We see this with Elijah. See, I found out something. When Elijah threw his cloak on Elijah, Elijah immediately ran. God likes to sneak up on your ordinary and turn it into extraordinary. God was trying to take, literally, Elijah from plowman to prophet. Come on. destined to be the greatest prophet, the most miracles of any prophet in the Old Testament. But he had to do something. And we all have to do the same thing. And what he did, it's in verse 21, it says, so he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen, sacrificed them, and boiled them, and burned the plows. What was he saying? I am not going to even provide a way to return to this life. How many of you have seen people come out of sin, go right back into it because they didn't break the ties they needed to? Come on now. Because they weren't willing to separate. I've learned in my own life, I remember, you know, my wife many times, and this is so personal with me. I mean, we've been married, and she knew I played ball. She didn't know I had played ball. I basically, the moment I retired from playing baseball, I took all my trophies, my press clippings, put them in boxes, and hid them away. Took my baseball glove, locked it up. I was 20 years old. I could always return. I had to break where there was no return. We had been married for less than a year, and she was going through the closet, and she opened up, and she started looking at all these press clippings and some of the things, and she said, I didn't know you played baseball. I said, I told you I played baseball. She said, you told me you played high school baseball. I said, I did. Before I played. Come on now. Come on. And she said, why did you hide this? Because again, you have to lose your life. I'm going to try to get this into you right now. Many of you, God wants, he's going to call you away from the familiar into a life of faith. And it may not be another territory, but it'll be new to you. Does this make sense? See, if you don't deny yourself and pick up the cross, you're not going to be able to follow him. See, Elijah is changing sources. He literally is burning Clark Kent's coat and tie so he can wear Superman's cape. Come on now. You got to see this. There has to be a cutting away of something to make room for the new. And many times what happens is before God gives you the new, he cuts away the old. Where the only thing you have left is either a dream or God himself. And all the crutches you have been removed. And God has to be God or we're in trouble. See, how many of you know it's always totally a matter of surrendering? You know, Job 22, verse 21 says, yield now and be at peace with him, thereby good will come to you. And it talks about you can't trust in the riches, you can't trust in anything, you just have to trust in God. I believe if I hear God saying anything, trust me, I've got your future. Trust me, I'm going to bring you to a better place, a higher place. Sometimes it means simplifying and purifying, making time for what you have to do. See, everyone likes a dream. They don't like the cost of the dream. Everybody likes to win. You know, I heard Colin Powell say it years ago. He said, everyone wants to win, but very few people want to prepare to win. Come on. And your preparation reveals your expectation. So don't tell me you're believing for revival if you're not making room for it. Don't tell me that I've learned something. If you're not willing to prepare, you're not expecting. And if you're not expecting, you're not going to birth anything. Does this make sense? See, I've learned right now is honestly, God's trying to take us to a place we've never been because he's requiring faith. See, if it's something it's the familiar doesn't take faith. That's why people will stay in abusive relationships. Why? They'd rather be smacked around with a familiar. Because they don't know, they're more afraid of the unknown than the known that is hurting them and killing them. Come on now. But God's calling us to a higher level. He's calling us to a place, a country, just like he did Abraham. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Don't be surprised if God calls you to things and say, man, this is new. Never been this way before. God, this is a new chapter. You have to face your fears and you have to take courage. Why? Because God's calling you to the greater. And the greater means facing things you've never faced before. Whatever God calls you to do will require faith. Some people never get greater because they're not willing to leave good enough behind. So they always live in regret because they don't have the courage to possess the promised land, so they die in the wilderness. Come on. See, I got a dream. I've got to be willing to face it. And I know if I put my hand to the plow and look back, I'm not fit for the kingdom. I know that. Why? Because God says there's no future back there. Back there was your future. But once it became present, then it was beginning to get outdated and became past. Come on. And many times we still have the same terminology, but do we still have the same determination? I'm trying to wake up America. Come on. Wake up people to response ability, which is a response to God's ability. Come on. Because anything that's not of faith is sin, because faith is our response to grace. Grace is God's ability. So faith is our response to God's ability. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, it's drastic to cut ties with the thing that is chaining you to life, to the life you've been comfortable with. I'm going to help you tonight. Think about the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Jesus came and offered him a deal. He said, what do I do? What do I need to inherit eternal life? So Jesus looked at him and loved him. I'll tell you something about God. He'll always tell you the truth. He'll never lie to you. He'll always speak straight. He said, you just lack one thing. I mean, he told him, all these commandments I've kept for my youth. I mean, this guy was pretty good. Better than me. I had broken them all since my youth. before I got born again, man, I broke them all, and others not listed. But he said, you lack this one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor. Come follow me. They say he walked away sad. You got to understand that is the exact same deal he's offering Elijah. The exact same deal. Because Elijah was a fairly wealthy man with 12 pairs of oxen. Part of the family business. And Elijah representing a type of Christ was basically saying, it's your choice. Well, I got to first say goodbye to my parents. Well, he wasn't saying goodbye in terms of to be there until his parents died. He was saying goodbye. And he did it. He sealed it. by basically destroying his past. But on the other side of obedience, we know when Elijah was about ready to go up, 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah makes a request. Give me a double portion. I don't just want what you have. I didn't even follow you just to be like you. I want twice as much. I want twice the miracles. I want a double portion. Now it's funny because he threw a mantle over him to begin with, to call him. And then he served him. And he was about ready to get another mantle. Understand that. When Elijah went up, the mantle stayed. And the first thing Elijah did is pick up the mantle and say, I've given my entire life for this mantle. I've paid a price for this mantle. I sold out for this mantle. And then he basically began to do twice as many miracles. Started off by splitting the sea wide open. He got twice as much because he valued the anointing. He valued the will of God. My question is, do we value the will of God? I know it's free, but it costs you everything. You're not your own. If the church never gets back to preaching lordship, we'll be in trouble. You really don't have a choice other than whether you're going to obey or disobey. Come on. I'm grateful Elijah obeyed. I keep thinking, you know, because you look at the end of Mark chapter 10, and Jesus said, you know, afterwards his disciples says, it must be hard. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. He said, Lord, how come? He said, we've left all these things. He said, no one's left homes, family, whatever, that I won't give 100-fold more in this life with persecutions. What he's saying is, hey, there's always a blessing on the other side of obedience. And you'll never know what that blessing is if you don't obey. Come on. See, I don't want to look back when I die and say, this is what could have been. I want to know I've done everything I know to obey God. Am I helping you yet? See, the reason people like us get stuck after we burn our plows, and sometimes we do, you know why? You begin to lose sight of the vision. But there are two things that keep you the place you're at. Number one is you don't think big enough. But number two, you don't start small enough. See, people don't understand that. Most people, they're stuck. You know, I like what Dwight L. Moody said. If God is your partner, make big plans. Oral Roberts had a plaque in his office. My wife wrote for him for years. And said, no small plans here. But I found out something. Everything great begins small. And every time you go into a new realm, you got to begin all over again. Sorry. You have to become like a little child and trust God all over again. See, we've just come out of a move of God and we're in a different chapter now. And if we try to do what worked in the last chapter, it's not current. So So we cannot rely on our experience. We got to rely on God. We can't even rely on our flesh. We got to rely on God. We got to hear from God fresh. Does this make sense? You begin to recognize, faith without works is dead. See, I get tired of hearing people talk revival. Because I found out what revival translates into is sweat. I'm sorry, it is. When we did the Ohio outpouring, I was amazed at how many people took off all week long to be there to work. Come on. They sold into it. They sold out to it. I believe that's why we saw 150 people born again that week. At Victory Word Explosion, there are about 1,000 workers that literally take off. And they work all sorts of hours to see people saved. A local church that we work with, I mentioned that, it's so funny. One of their biggest, the biggest day of the year is Taco Sunday. And, we got some people that own taco trucks. And what we do is we give away free tacos for anyone that visits the church. And literally, we'll have 1,000 people show up. Well, there are a lot of workers out there, and everyone's passing out, get your tacos, get your tacos, get your tacos. Well, when they get more than tacos, they get Jesus, and we see hundreds of people born again. Come on. But because our faith doesn't work, it doesn't work. Come on now. The faith without works is dead. Come on. We can talk about all we want to. Oh, it'd be great. Let's do more planning. No, let's do more doing. Come on. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, Zechariah 4:10. Don't despise it. Don't look at where you are. Look at where you're heading. Look, in the fields are already widened to harvest. It can be real. It's easy to give up. If you want to be a loser, just quit. Come on. But don't blame God. Job 8:7 says, though your beginning was insignificant, your end will greatly increase. Everything starts small. Everything starts with mustard seed faith. The kingdom is like that. The kingdom is like a mustard seed that when you plant it, it looks like the smallest of all trees, but as it continues to grow, it begins to gain more and more, and everything comes under its covering. And before you know it, the politicians, everyone comes under the covering. I wish you could be in my home church. Because anyone that wants to be elected in our area has to go through our church. Period. If they don't go through our church, they're not going to get elected. So guess what? It bends their thinking. Come on now. You want to kill babies? You ain't going to elect them in our church. You're not going to get elected, Come on. They know. It wasn't always that way. We started small. No one took us seriously. But we kept taking over. Most of the politicians go to our church. Most of the businessmen go to our church. If they don't, they go to a sister church. They were started because of our church. Why? It's because of influence. We dreamed of that when there wasn't anything there. How many people, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and it would obey you. Am I helping you? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 3. We're, We're going to wind some things up and pray for you. This is going to be good tonight. I guarantee you. So I want to stretch you. I want to stretch you so much. I want to bend you out of shape. I want some of you, honestly, to begin to embrace the change. I know things God's asking me to do now. How many of you have something you know God's asking you to do now? And I'll be honest with you, the time commitment has been daunting for me. And I'm looking, I said, Lord. And you know, of course, God keeps clearing my schedule. I don't watch NFL anymore. Stopped watching baseball years ago. In fact, I never could watch baseball. I could only play it. But 2 Kings chapter 3, let's look at something. Here we are in a situation. They're calling for the prophet to hear from God. All these ungodly kings and Jehoshaphat, who was a godly one. So we see Elijah comes. And I love what Elijah says in 2 Kings 3:14. And Elijah said, as the Lord of God lives, before whom I stand, were it not thy regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. I like that. You know, he basically said, hey, listen, guys, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't be here. I like bold people. Come on. I do. I like people that say, hey, I don't need to see you. Just jump in that river 7 times. Whatever. You get healed. Come on. It says, but now bring me a minstrel. That's what prophets always do. Bring me the musician. Bring me. I've got people who literally tap into my prophetic anointing. And as they play, I prophesy. They know how to tap into it. It's really good. And it came about when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came on him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. I think that's interesting. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, both you and your cattle and your beast. You know what God basically said is there's a move going on, but before I will send the water, you got to dig the ditches. And I believe what God's been waiting for us to dig the ditches so he can send the water. And I love it. It didn't say just send one ditch. Dig the ditches. God says make preparation for what you believe. So I believe we've been lacking in ditch digging. Come on. The king wanted a miracle. They would get their miracle, but first they got a work order. Many times we want a miracle and God gives us a work order. Come on. Again, your preparation reveals your expectation. Only God can send the rain, but he expects you to dig the ditches. And if we're not willing to dig the ditches, we're not going to make room for what God's going to do, so he won't do it because we weren't making room for it. Am I helping someone yet? Let me show you what we did. When I took over as a youth pastor, I only had 5 kids. Most of them didn't want to be there. They were elders and pastors' kids. And I'll never forget, first thing I told them, I said, I don't do hospital visitation. I said, if I show up in a hospital, you're either dying or losing a limb. You don't want to see me. I'm going to teach you to pray for the sick. So if it's not serious, you're going to do the hospital visitation. Well, I got called into the pastor's office. He said, you only have 5 kids. I said, Pastor, you don't understand. I said, in 2 years, I'm going to have over 500 kids in this youth group, and maybe several thousand that's going to call me youth pastor. I said, I have got to lay a foundation for what I see, not for what is. Because it will be, if this thing breaks like I think it's going to break, we're not going to have time. So I'm going to build a big enough foundation where everything's in place. I'm going to dig my ditches. And he looked at me, he said, okay. 2 years later, in 2 years' time, we had 7,000 decisions for Christ in a youth group. I had thousands and thousands of teenagers that called me their youth pastor. I didn't have time to do everything. And because I changed everything in light of what God was calling me to do, we were in a position to hold what God was doing. I'm going to be honest with you, God's going to shift a lot of things. If we're not willing to shift, we can dream all we want to. It's not going to take place. I'm starting to look into doing things that differently than I want to. I'm having to release a lot more now. God's actually bringing me back to bring me forward. See, when you're faithful in little, you can be faithful over much. See, Elijah expected a lot of rain. Dig the ditches. When Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, let down the nets, and yet Peter only let down one net. In Luke chapter 5. And it was a tremendous boat sinking load. But think what would happen if he had nets. I see something so major in this country that literally we are going to have a reformation to hold the results of revival. And it's going to mean stretching. It's going to mean digging ditches. It's going to mean locating what's in the house instead of what's not. Because if I hear God always, it's the prophetic thing. Everybody comes to me, we don't have this, we don't have this. Everyone talks lack, that's their problem. And see, if you get around me, I won't ever talk to you about what you don't have. I will begin to get you to realize what you do have. Because you already have the miracle in the house. You already have everything you need in seed form. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we see a rich. Well, we see this widow woman, actually didn't want rich. She's about ready to lose everything. Her husband was a godly man, but he died. She comes desperate to the prophet. Said, what am I going to do? The prophet seems a little heartless. Because he didn't say, oh, I feel for you. See, if you want me to say I feel for you, I'll say it. I feel for you. Okay, that's over with. Now let's get on with it. Come on now. Because it doesn't help you that much. We said, I don't have this, I don't have that. She said, what do you have? She said, I have nothing except. You got to understand the except is always exceptional. I have nothing except. A little bit of oil. Come on, go borrow vessels, not a few. We're about ready to not only pay off your debt, we're going to basically give you a living for the next 20, 30 years. Off of the little. See, the problem is God turns little into much, but if we don't recognize the little, it won't ever become much. See, there's greater on the inside of you already. You've been seated with greatness because Christ is in you. You've been seated with his life. Does this make sense? See, the enemy wants you to focus on what you don't have. The enemy always wants you to be need conscious. God always wants you to be seed conscious. All God needs to take your life to a higher level is all you have. Let me say that. All God needs to take your life to a higher level is all you have. If you give him your all, you'll go higher. You have everything you need to get to the next level. But you're going to have to give it to him. You have to trust him with it. Come on. Does this make sense? Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Think of your limitations as little fish and loaves that God's a bejesus about ready to multiply. Even with Moses, Moses said, how will the people know you sent me? He said, what's in your hand? See, I've learned, unless we sell out, nothing works. I think we've danced around things long enough. And because this nation right now is in a critical mass situation, there's not time to be nice. It's not. Everybody, God needs the better you, the greater you. He needs the greater life that he put on the inside of you to be manifested. And everyone that has your own zone, so don't go on a trip. Just go on your trip. Come on now. Every one of you has your zone, your grace. I can't do everything. I can do my thing. You know, my son's able to meet with people I can't meet with. He's able to influence people I can't influence. In his realm, he rules. In my realm, I rule. In your realm, you rule. But God says, find your realm and rule. And dare to expect and to obey. Because honestly, God does not want to leave you where you're at. It's a walk of faith. This world needs the faith deposit God put in you. This world needs the gifting he put in you. And you'll never be happy until you use your gift to bless humanity. Never will be. You know, it's never been about us. We're stewards, not owners. Your life is not even your own. Whatever you own is cursed. Whatever God owns is blessed. So when you do it your way, you rebel. When you do it Yahweh, you got the King of Kings. You don't want Burger King. You want the King of Kings. But how many of you tonight would just say, man, I want to sell out. I want to sell out. I want the greater life. And how many of you understand there are things I believe what God spoke to me tonight is the whole message is there are things you got to separate from. Sometimes it's a past chapter. And you can't stay there forever. Even if you wanted to, you can't. You got to move on. You know, I've learned. I keep moving. People receive me. I bless them. They don't receive me. I wipe the dust off my feet and keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. I don't have time to say, will you like me? Who cares? Because they didn't call me, God did. You know? I'm past trying to play any political game. It's just a kingdom thing for me. How many of you tonight just say, man, I want that fresh anointing. I want to be used by God like never before. How many of you tonight will say, man, there's certain areas of my life I know God is separating me to a higher level. And I've got some struggle, but I want the grace to be able to, come on. Because to be honest with you, one of the reasons I'm preaching this is I know areas he's called me to, and there's still a part of me that doesn't want to move with it. So I'm preaching to myself tonight. Is that okay? You know? I don't want you to think, oh, he got his act together. If you find someone that has their act together, it's only an act. Come on. But how many of you tonight say, I want prayer. I want prayer to go to the next level. I want prayer to see my life change. I want prayer to, you know, God, whatever you say, I'll do. If you show it to me, I just want it. I just want your will, God. It's all I want. God, I want to see this nation changed. I want to be used in it. If that's you, if you want prayer tonight, maybe you need a healing miracle. I'll pray for you. Why? Because God wants to get you healthy so you can get to work. Come on now. It's either easier for you to work healthy. Come on. But honestly, God tonight, he's basically saying, who will take up my cause? Who will run after me? If you want that type of anointing, come on up right now, right now, right now. Because something's about ready to break in this place. This nation needs us. This area needs us. Come on. There are new chapters being written. God's calling us to a place we've never been before. Many of us, he's calling you to do what has never been done before. When what we did in the high schools, that had never been done before. I couldn't study how you do it. There wasn't a book. We just had a revival that shut down a whole school system. Saw God take over. There are things we're doing right now. I said, God, there's no precedent to it other than you're showing me things. Lift your hands towards heaven. Start thanking him. Thank him for the more. Thank him for the greater. Say, God, I want the greater. I don't want the lesser. I want the greater. You, the greater one is in me. The greater one, the greater life is in me. Yes. Lord, I just thank you. I release that anointing. Yes. There it is. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. The greater yes. life.
Hallelujah.
The greater,
Jesus.
There it is.
Yes.
The greater. Nah, not by our power. Not by our
yes.
might.
Yes,
not based on our age or our strength. But by the Spirit of God, the greater. New strategies. Same vision, new strategies. Bringing in fresh fire. Oh, so much fun. We're going to see teams being built. God's going to put together the A team. Come on now. All of a sudden, everything we need, and may come in raw form. Come on. But fresh fire, fresh anointing for such a time as this is a kingdom thing. God's breathing all over you. Now you can speak from the outside in. There's a lot of freedom in that. It's like, God, I'm going to do my part when I can, what I can. God, you're going to breathe all over it. And this is going to be the greatest adventure season of your life. And it's going to be a faith adventure, and you're going to learn just to enjoy. But that joy is going to begin to link people into the kingdom of God. Oh. Strength renewed like the eagles. So much fun, it's ridiculous. See, God, you know, He just puts us in the grace level, and that grace begins to flow and flow and flow and flow. And it's like you are sold out. This is your life. But it's a good place. You know? I had to look at my life and I said, man, I don't have many hobbies. This is what seems like what I do. And, you know, I almost feel like the young God, you can relate to that. I told my wife, I said, at first I was feeling bad. I don't have all these hobbies. But now I feel good because I actually love what I do. And God is putting that love on the inside of your heart. And when you see that development, it's amazing. And it's almost like there's such a joy in being right in the center of what God's doing. And God said, I'm going to breathe all over it. I'm going to give you new strategies. I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to open doors. I'm going to open doors no one can shut. I'm going to shut a couple of doors no one can open too. That's going to shut some doors on things that have been trying to attack. So we just release that anointing now. You might as well just get excited. This is a whole different season. See, God's given us the keys of the kingdom. He said, hey, if we'll take responsibility, you know, as soon as my son was able to handle it, I could give him the keys to the car. Come on. Now I want the keys to his car. It's a nicer one than mine. You know. I want the chauffeur too, Joey. You know. But God's doing a fresh thing. And literally, this is a whole new season of dreaming again. Get your dreamer back out there. Get your faith out there like never before. God is literally going to renew your youth like the eagles. It is going to be so much fun. You're going to have the last laugh on this thing. Come on now. The last laugh. Many times, we've been through the fire, we've been through the flood, but God brings us to the wealthy place. He brings us to the place of too much. You know, we've survived, now we thrive. Come on now. When everyone counted you out, God counted you in. This is a new season. This is a new day. He began something. He's going to complete it. Oh, there's a deep call in the deep, and there's a deep that answers. You might as well get ready for the next level. God's taking you there. And sometimes there's just a cutting away of some stuff. So it frees you up to run in the next level. And we release that anointing now in Jesus' name. You know, I know, I don't know about something. I know I'm getting lighter because things are getting cut. Come on now. You know, some things I didn't even want to get cut got cut. But that's good. That's good. Because now there's a lot more room for God to operate. And He's beginning to operate, and you're beginning to flow, and it's beginning to be fun again. That's the Christ life on the inside of you. Flowing, 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 flowing. This is your best season yet. Harvest time. Harvest time. We've been faithful over little. Now we're faithful over much. The enemy messed with us, but what he didn't realize is that in what we had to fight to even survive in, now we know how to fight to win. You know, now you know how to fight to win. So you look back, and you know, you're not grateful for what he did, but you're grateful for what God taught you in the midst of what the enemy was doing. And now there's the miraculous on the inside of you. There are times, you know, sometimes we can be thankful we didn't get what we wanted. Come on now. How many of you know that? There are times in my own life I say, God, I'm glad you didn't give that to me when I wanted it, because I would have messed it up. But now we've been prepped for such a time as this. And there's just a new season going on the inside of you. Oh, everything's becoming new. Everything's becoming fresh. Oh, fresh oil. Fresh dreams again. See, there are times when we're finally released to another level of faith. There it is. Woo, you just caught something. See, God's writing. He's writing on the tablets of our heart. And the greater one on the inside of you. He has set you up for victory. He's given you the victory, but he set you up. And he's moved you. So you're at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing in the right way. This is a new season. Everything's becoming fresh again. Oh. And God's going to make up for the wasted years. Many times he'll move us because he'll say, okay, I know what you've been through. I'm now going to restore what the enemy stole. I'm now going to restore. It's a restoration period. I believe America's going to have some restoration, tremendous restoration going on. This is a new season. There's victory on the inside. And this is going to be the most fruitful time yet. It's almost like God, you know, it's like, God, I'm going to watch you be you. And so, you know, God's carried you for a while in situations. But now it's almost like you're bearing fruit again. You're starting to get that fight back on the inside even better. It's a new season. It's a new year. It's a new time frame. God's the author and finisher of faith, so you might as well just get excited about it. You know, we're going to see this nation change. You know why? We're not living for ourselves anymore. We're living for him. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's by the Spirit of God that's breathing all over. Come on. Oh, it's by the Spirit of God. Making all things new. Making all things new. Making all things new. God's about ready to renew this region. There's a renewal about ready to hit. There's a great awakening about ready to take place. And it's a restoration period where we're getting back what was stolen. And we're going to become current with heaven. This is a new season. Everything's beginning to flow for you. You know, God said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? You're about ready to see how much God is for you. He's about ready to invade. Come on now. Ha ha. Yeah. Invade. Ha ha. Ho ho ho. Whoa. Not by our power, not by our might. Come on. Breathing all over. Come on. Part of that young fiery group, right? Come on. You know it. You know it's in your spirit. A difference maker. You know, you light up when you just think about that. You know why? Because you're going to light up the world. So you just light up. Watch out. God's got it all. He's got the future. And he's literally ordering your steps so that you'll be right there in the middle of everything he's doing. If we're hungry, we won't miss anything. Come on now. If we're willing, come on. Everything you need for the next level, you already got. Just give it all to him. If you give him his all, he'll give you his all. He's not withholding anything from you. But I've learned, he's waiting to see if you can trust him with your life so he can trust you with the fullness of his life. Think about that. Come on. I honestly believe the life of God that we're experiencing now is in proportion to us entrusting our life to him. And I told God, I've got to give you more of me. I decrease, but I also have to give you, the way I decrease is by giving you more of me. Until it's no longer me, but Christ. Positionally, we're all there. Possessionally, got some work to do. Thank you, guys. This is what I got. I better get out of the way.